along this morning, and I trust the Lord will give him great help, make him feel very comfortable among us, and he'll know the help of the Lord as he presents Christ to us. So listen up, and may the Lord bless his word to every one of our hearts.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to be here with you in Dromore. And yes, it's been a very busy week, but it's been a good week. And I've been really looking forward to coming to see the boys and girls here and to hear your singing and telling your verses. You've all done so well this morning. Really, really did really well. Now, put up your hand if you wear a school uniform. Yeah? Guess what, boys and girls? I'm in my school uniform today. Okay, because I'm in the Whitfield College of the Bible. I'm in third year, and this is my school uniform, and I have to wear it any time that I go to preach somewhere. So you're seeing me today in my school uniform. Now, there are two things that I want you all to do for me, boys and girls, okay? First thing is I need you to use these, all right? I need you to use your ears, and I need you to listen really well this morning, okay? Because we've got a very important story to tell. The second thing I want you to do is to use this. Because I'm going to be asking questions, and I don't want the same people answering the same question time and time again. I want you all to be taking part. So when I ask a question, you put your hand up if you know the answer, and I'll ask you for the answer. That okay? We got a deal, yeah? Sounds good? Okay, that's good. Boys and girls, just before we come to God's Word to see what it has to tell us, we'll just bow our heads in prayer. You all know the ABCs of prayer? Arms folded, bow your heads, and close your eyes. We'll come to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for this beautiful Sabbath day You've given to us. Lord, we thank Thee for the reason that we're met together, is to worship Jesus Christ, Lord, to promote His name. And Lord, I pray that as this message would go on, Lord, that You would fill me with Thy Spirit. Lord, take away my nerves. And Lord, I do pray that each and every boy and girl, Lord, each and every mom and dad and granny and granddad here today would hear the gospel, Lord, would see Christ present it clearly to us. Lord, I pray that He would have all the preeminence this day, that He would be glorified, and Lord, Your name would be lifted high. Lord, give help, we pray, and give us listening ears, Lord, and open hearts to receive Thy word. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Today, boys and girls, I want to talk to you about something that can be found outside. They come in all different shapes and sizes. And there are 400, I learned a very important fact, a very fun fact actually, there are 400 times more of them than there are people in the world. And they're very important for their environment, people are trying to protect them, and they're the reason that we have fresh air to breathe. Pop your hand if you know what I'm going to talk on. Yeah, trees, you got it. Got it in one. We're going to speak this morning on the trees of the Bible. And trees are very important. As we said, they're really important for the environment because they take away all the bad gases, the carbon dioxide that we breathe, and they give us fresh oxygen to breathe. Morning, and we want to see how wonderful He is. Now, can anyone tell me where a story usually begins? It's a very simple answer, yeah? At the beginning, exactly. So we are going to go right to the beginning of the world, right to Genesis and to creation, and to see where the first tree that is mentioned in the Bible. And it's called, what we want to call this morning, the tree of sin. It's the tree of sin. Now, chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 7, we read about that tree. I'm just going to read these verses for you very briefly. It says there in Genesis 3 verses 1 to 7, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Here we see in Genesis chapter 3, the first major tree mentioned in the Bible. And it's what we call the tree of sin, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, it was a fruit to be desired of. It says that in the Bible. Eve saw it. She saw that it was good to eat. She saw that it looked really tasty. And that's why she ate of this fruit. But God had commanded Adam and Eve one simple thing. All the trees in the garden, the apple trees, bananas don't grow on trees, I only learned that recently, but the apple trees and the pear trees, they were allowed to eat of all of those trees, but this one. It was the forbidden tree. It was the tree that they were not allowed to eat, not even allowed to touch. And this wasn't because there was anything wrong with that tree. What did God say at the end of each day of creation? Put up your hand if you can tell me. What did he say at the end of each day of creation? That it was good. So that means that God made everything good. He made it all perfect. But this tree represented a choice for Adam and Eve, a choice between obeying God and disobeying God. They could either obey God and not eat of the tree, or they could disobey God and take the fruit to eat it. And boys and girls, it tells us if we are saved that we are to obey God rather than men. We are to obey God. We are to trust the Bible. And where do we find what God commands us to do? There's a very important word in that sentence. Can anyone tell me? Any young person tell me where we find what God tells us to do in his Bible? The Ten Commandments. Exactly. The Ten Commandments. And I'm sure you have all heard the chorus that you would sing in Sunday school. That song, Obedience. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. But the problem was that sin came into the world because of Adam and Eve's choice. They chose to disobey God and to sin. And because of that, now we read in the Bible that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means that we are all born into sin. Every one of us in here today, mums and dads, grannies and grandas, each boy and girl in here today, we're all born with that problem of sin in our heart because of this tree in the Garden of Eden, because of the choice that Adam and Eve made. And the Bible also tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from a God who loves us, from a God who gave his Son to die for us. And that is why this is such an important tree, because it is where sin came into this world, because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So we now have this problem of sin. We have sin in our hearts and we want to get rid of it, but how do we get rid of it? Well, that leads us on to our next tree. Now, this next tree that we're going to come to see, it wouldn't naturally grow in a forest. You wouldn't just find it lying about outside, but this tree was taken, it was chopped down and put into the shape of a cross. And can anyone tell me what that tree would be? Where that tree was? Can anyone tell me the name of where it was? No, we're just coming from the Garden of Eden. Where is it we're going to go to now? It's the tree of somewhere else. Does anyone know the name of it? It begins with a C. Do you know? The cross, yes, but we're going to look specifically at the tree of Calvary. The tree of Calvary, where that tree was placed. It was placed on a hill called Calvary. And boys and girls, it's one of the most important trees in all of human history. The Bible tells us of the cross in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. All four Gospels tell us of the cross, and that shows us how important it really was. And in John 19, and verses 16 through to 19, we're going to read these verses for you very quickly. John 19, verses 16 through to 19, it says there, "Then delivered he him, therefore, to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is in Hebrew called Golgotha, where they crucified him, and the other two with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And this is a very important time in human history, boys and girls, because I want you to know, this is very important, there was absolutely nothing special about this tree, but there was something very special about the person who was on this tree. Put up your hand if you can tell me who it was on this tree. Yeah? Jesus. Jesus. Now, can anyone tell me what that name means? The name Jesus has a very special meaning. Does anyone know what it is? Yeah? Not too sure. Try someone else, will we? The name Jesus has a very specific meaning, yeah? Savior. That word Savior is what Jesus means, because the Bible tells us that he was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, and that name Savior, that name Jesus, sums up who he was and what he came to do. He came to deliver us from our sin. While the first tree that we looked at was the tree of sin, it's the reason we now have pain and suffering and sin in this world. This second tree was there to make sure that that sin would be paid for, that that price would be paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was perfect. He did no sin. He couldn't do any sin. He was perfect, but he died for those who were imperfect, for us, who are in our sin. Because remember, we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. He didn't do anything wrong to deserve death, but he willingly went to the cross to die for our sins. And boys and girls, that's an amazing thing. Can you imagine? Someone perfect, someone who has never done anything wrong in their life, but yet he gave up his life to save us from our sins. And how wonderful is that, boys and girls? What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4, verse 10, I heard it quoted earlier by the kids, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us, and he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." The Bible tells us that in 1 John 4 and the verse number 10. And that's a wonderful thing, boys and girls, but I wonder, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Because remember, we all have this problem in our hearts. We all need to ask for forgiveness. But have you ever asked Jesus to save you from your sin? Because in the Bible, there are two things that I like to call the two T's of the Bible. There are big names for them, but I just like to simplify things down because I'm from Ballymoney. I'm not the brightest spark in the shed. But I like to call them the two T's of the Bible. We turn from our sin and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. That means that we turn from all the bad things that we do. We turn from the sinfulness and we trust in Jesus to wash away our sins, to come into our lives, to be the Savior of our lives and to make us new creatures in him. And then in verse 30 in John chapter 19, we read such wonderful, wonderful words, boys and girls. Three little words, but oh, what marvelous significance they have. It is finished. On the cross, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And that means that there's nothing more for us to do. We can't climb a mountain. We can't swim across the ocean to save us from our own sin. No, Jesus Christ alone died to save us from our sin. And that is why it is so important that we turn from our sin and that we trust alone in Jesus Christ, because he has purchased salvation for us. So we have seen the tree of sin. We have seen the tree of Calvary. And lastly, now we want to think about one more tree. It is called, what we're going to call it, the tree of life. The tree of life. And we find the tree of life throughout the Bible. It's mentioned in multiple different places. At the start of the Bible, in Genesis, it's mentioned. In the middle of the Bible, in Proverbs, it's mentioned. And then right at the end of the Bible. Who can tell me what the last book of the Bible is? Does anyone know? Maybe someone a wee bit younger? Yeah. Revelation. Yes. Revelation is the last book. And that's where we find the last time that the tree of life is mentioned. It's in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And also in Revelation 22 verse 14. I'm going to read this verse for us. In Revelation 22 verse 14 it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." Now in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, we read of the tree of life as well. It says there, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Boys and girls, I just want to ask you a very simple question. When you're in school throughout the week, and I know that all of you are very happy to be coming to the end of school, I'm very happy to be coming to the end of my school year too, but when you're in school, I wonder, do you tell other boys and girls about Jesus Christ? Do you tell other boys and girls about how he died on the cross to save us from our sins? Are you telling others about Jesus? Are you telling your friends and your family about Jesus? When you go to football or rugby or hockey or whatever sport it is you might play, or when you're just going to meet up with your friends, are you telling them about Jesus? Are you telling them about Jesus? Because it's so important that everyone knows that Jesus Christ died to save us from our sin. I also ask, because one day when we die, we will be with Jesus in heaven if we are trusting in him to save us from our sins. And that is what we read of in Revelation 22 and verse 14. There, the tree of life is a picture of eternal life. It's a picture that one day we will be with Jesus forever and ever. That's what eternity is. And that's why it's so important that we have to ask this question this morning. Mums and dads, grannies and grandas, young people, children of any age, are you assured that you're going to heaven? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin? Have you turned from your sin? And have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you one day be with him in heaven? We sing a wonderful chorus, and I want you to finish it off, boys and girls. I want you to finish off the last word in this chorus. It says, "No, you can't get to heaven without what?" Shout it out. Not too sure? Oh, dear me, I thought yous weren't shy down here in Drumore. "No, you can't get to heaven without what?"
Salvation.
Exactly. You can't get to heaven without salvation. And the second verse of that chorus, it says, "As a gift of his love, you receive salvation." And then it turns us to a verse in the Bible, Acts 16, 31, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. That is, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Boys and girls, if you want to be saved today, all you have to do is those two T's of the Bible. You have to turn from your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mums and dads, the same thing applies. Grannies and grandas, it doesn't matter what age you might be. It doesn't matter what background you come from. We all must turn from our sin and trust in Jesus Christ if we want to have this problem of sin dealt with. So who can tell me what the first tree was that we looked at? What was the name of it? It was the tree of what? Yeah. The tree of sin in the Garden of Eden. Then the second tree that we looked at, what was it called? I'll not give you any hints here. It was the tree of? The tree of Calvary, where we learn all about Jesus Christ and how he died to save us from our sin. And the last tree, the tree of life, it points us to heaven and the fact that we will be with Christ forevermore. Boys and girls, I hope that every time now that you go out, there's loads of trees out and about and you'll see them all over the place. But always remember one of the most important trees in the Bible, and that is the cross, where Jesus died for our sins. And I wonder, have you asked him to forgive you of your sins this morning? I trust and pray that each and every young person, every mummy and daddy, every granny and granddad in here will know their sins forgiven this morning, will know what it is to be in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that one day we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll just bow together in prayer before we ask Mr. Foster to come and close the service. Our God and our Father, Lord, we thank Thee for Your Word. Lord, we thank Thee for the whole plan of redemption that we see running from Genesis right through to Revelation. Lord, right there in the garden where You promised the Savior of the world. Lord, we thank Thee that You were true to Your Word. Lord, that You fulfilled Your promise and gave us Your only begotten Son. Lord, I pray that each and every one in here this morning would realize the magnitude of their sin. Lord, would realize that they have offended a holy God. And Lord, I pray that they would turn from their sin and trust in You to save them from it. Lord, set them in the right path this day. Lord, put them in a right relationship with You. Lord, adopt them into Your family, I pray, that they might know where they are heading for eternity. Lord, I pray for those of Your people in here this morning. Lord, encourage them. Lord, as we have seen more of Christ this morning, as we have seen more of these trees in the Bible, Lord, I pray, uplift Your people's heart today. And Lord, may we all glorify You in everything that we do. Lord, we pray, bless us. We ask that You would be with us, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.
The Bible is a very big book. In fact, 66 books within the one book. Lots of pages and lots of words, boys and girls. But this morning you have had it very nicely summarized to you. The problem of sin, the solution in Christ, but then the question: what will you do with Christ and what He's done on the cross? We're going to finish by singing our final hymn, and it says these words: come to the Saviour, make no delay, here in His word He has shown you the way. Here in our midst He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Joyful, joyful then will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Saviour, with Thee in our eternal home. Again, remain seated while we sing this hymn, please. Eternal home of God was to call you today. Would you know that without doubt that you're safe, that you would be safe in that eternal home because your trust is in Christ and Him alone, what He's done on that cross of Calvary. And in thankfulness, you're turning and you're continuing to turn from your sin. Can you be sure of that today? If you'd like to speak with Mr. Story, myself, or indeed another Christian here, maybe a friend has invited you, or indeed if you're maybe a family member, feel free to speak to them. Make sure before it is too late that you are right with the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Father, while we are sinners, you made everything perfect, but Lord, we disobeyed you. And even still today, Lord, we still disobey you. We still fall so far short of the standard that we ought to live by. But I thank you for the tree of Calvary. I thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, the one who died upon that tree and paid the debt for our sins, and who was able to say before he died, "It is finished. The debt is satisfied once and for all. Nothing more needs to be paid. No more work needs to be done. Christ has done it all." And Father, simply if we turn and put our trust in Christ today, we will be saved. We will have eternal life with Christ. Oh, Father, I pray, bless thy word to every heart. Bless thy servant, the one who brought it. And Father, I beg of you, do your work today that would last for eternity. Save the lost, comfort, strengthen, and cheer us who are thy people. In the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Take us, we pray then, to our homes in safety. Even please to bring us back this evening to the time when the youth fellowship will take part. And again we'll hear of Christ. And this gospel, this good news, oh Father, bless us, we pray. And glorify the name of Christ, who is worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Again, I want to thank you for your attendance this morning, and those that have been outside, and those that have listened online. It's been great to have you. The Lord bless his word to your hearts, that we'll not forget it as soon as we stand up and walk out the door, but we'll even think about it in the car on the way home. Think about it as we're eating our dinner, and be encouraged by it, comforted by it. And that we will live in light of it and take heed to what we have heard. Whenever it comes to leaving, those who are in the minor hall, if you could leave through the doors that I'm pointing towards now, those who are on the aisle to my right, if you could then, whenever you're able and ready, from the back rows, then leading forward, to leave through the doors to my right as well. Whenever it comes then to leaving through the double doors, could those on the aisle to my left then leave from the back rows to the front. And then once that left aisle is left, then the centre aisle from again the back rows to the front. And of course you're in single seated chairs, then again the same principle applies. But thank you again, and you're very welcome to attend the service this evening at 7 p.m. Lord bless you abundantly.